Our God is a miracle-working God. He has promised in His Word to supply the believer's every need. As we trust Him by faith, He never fails. David declared, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry." Someone has described the feeding of the 5,000 as the greatest miracle Jesus ever performed. The fact that it is the only one of our Lord's miracles recorded in all four Gospels suggests its importance. Only two other events are recorded in all the Gospels, the crucifixion and the resurrection. In the feeding of the 5,000, we see our Lord's creative power displayed. He can make much out of little, or if He so desires, He can make something out of nothing. As the Creator, Christ is the great provider. The true believer may rest in the fact that whatever his need, the Lord Jesus, who multiplied the loaves and fishes, is able to meet every need. In John the 6th chapter, verse 1, we read, "After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias." Probably Christ was seeking some much-needed rest. As his fame spread abroad more and more, this seemed to be an impossibility. John tells us in verse 2 that a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. Doubtless many in the crowd were ill and wanted healing. Others were the usual curiosity seekers. Arriving on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, we see in verse 3 that Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. They probably planned to discuss their recent travels, to be followed by a prayer meeting in preparation for the next journey. It is at this point in his account that the apostle makes a statement that seems to be strictly parenthetical, yet it has an important bearing upon much that is said in this entire chapter. Notice verse 4, "And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh." Doubtless many of those in the multitudes that followed Christ were on their way to Jerusalem for the Passover. Little did they realize that the one who fed them with the bread and fishes was actually the one whom the Passover typified. Once a year, during the month of April, Jews flocked to Jerusalem to partake of the sacrificial lamb in remembrance of their miraculous deliverance from Egyptian bondage. At the same time, they looked for another deliverer who would release them from their Roman yoke. We read in verse 5, "When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" This is not to be interpreted as a surprise on the part of our Lord, as seeing so many people. The multitude had been there for some time. Christ had been preaching and teaching before them. Our Lord was primarily concerned about their souls, but he also had a heart concern for their bodily welfare. He knew that they were without food. So turning to Philip, Christ said, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" How understanding, how practical our Lord is. We who follow him should be the same way. Some of the most zealous Christians seem to be so impractical. Though people have souls, these souls live in human bodies. Our task is like our Lord. If someone is sick and in need, it is not enough to assure them that we will pray for them. We are to visit them, care for them, and do whatever we can to help them. This is practical Christianity, such as our Lord was teaching Philip and the other disciples. Now, why did our Lord ask Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Why not Peter, James, or one of the other disciples? It would seem that Philip needed special help at this time. But on the other hand, all the disciples profited by it. We are told in verse 6 that the question was asked to prove him, not to Christ, but to himself. You see, all of us need to be proved occasionally. But note this added word, "for he himself knew what he would do." That is, the Lord Jesus did not ask this question expecting help from Philip, for Christ already knew that he was going to perform a miracle and provide for the hungry multitude. Christ desired to prove Philip that this servant of God might be helped in his own spiritual growth. In verse 7, Philip replied, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Now the Roman penny, the denarius, was worth much more than our penny. 200 Roman pennies would have purchased a large quantity of food, but it would have been nothing in comparison to the crowd. Philip was actually saying, the task is impossible. Well, by this time, he should have known better than to tell Christ anything was impossible. Philip had witnessed the changing of water into wine. He knew about the nobleman's son who was healed. He had seen the miracle performed for the paralytic. He should have cried out, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Andrew had something to say, but this did not look very hopeful either. Notice in verses 8 and 9, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Well, we must give Andrew credit for looking around in an attempt to help. Walking through the crowds, the only trace of food he could find was a little boy's lunch of 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, a loaf for 1,000 men. Thus Andrew's answer was about as bad as Philip's. What are these among so many? The Lord Jesus provided the solution to the problem. Notice verse 10, make the men sit down. This was step number 1. Our God is not a God of confusion, but of order. The time and setting was perfect for the circumstances. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Being the time of the Passover feast, it was springtime. The cold winter months had passed, and the intense heat of summer was not yet upon them. It must have been a refreshing experience out on the mountainside, seated on the blanket of grass. Now, men used here means men as distinguished by contrast from women. There were many women in the audience, but among them, John informs us that there were 5,000 men. Verse 11, Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. Taking the lunch donated by the small boy, Christ lifted his eyes heavenward and gave thanks to the Father. He then called the disciples to receive the food from his hand with the instruction to feed those who were patiently waiting. They obeyed his command, and after distributing the food, returned to find his hands filled with more. They went out and returned back time and time again, and the supply was inexhaustible. You see, little is much when God is in it. Now notice verses 12 and 13. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. No one went hungry. In fact, there was over and above that which was needed. But though Christ supplies abundantly, he is never friendly toward waste or extravagance. Verse 14, then these men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Christ's miracles were always performed with a purpose in mind. The Old Testament scriptures were brought to life in the minds of many. They thought Jesus was the prophet spoken of by Moses who should come. Though we are not told here, yet it seems reasonable that many believed and were transformed that day as they realized that Jesus was the eternal God. He who could provide food for the body could certainly provide food for the soul. And my dear friend, if you need food for your soul, Jesus Christ is the answer. He is the one who came from heaven, lived on this earth, performed miracle after miracle to prove that he is the Son of God. And yet men refused to believe in him, many of them. Many of these people in the audience we spoke about today turned their faces from Christ. Oh, how hard the hearts of men are. I pray today that you will open your heart to the Son of God if you never have, because I'll tell you, it's wonderful to be a Christian. To know that your sins are forgiven and you're on your way to heaven, there is nothing that can be on an equal plane such as this. Jesus Christ wants to enter your life. We let him do it as we pray. God our Father, open eyes, open hearts, I ask, that Jesus may be welcomed in as Savior and Lord. Have your way in every life listening at this time, I ask. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.